How many kind of noticed this fruit tray up here? Other than Dan and Pastor Stephen. Actually, I told him, go ahead and dig into it if it's appealing to you. Is it appealing to anyone else? Okay, just come up and take something then. Right now, just come up, take some. There's papaya here, there's a pineapple. Yeah, look at this. If it's appealing to you, come up and get something. There's cherries. Okay, look at this. This is going.
Seriously?
I mean, there's a watermelon without seeds. I don't know how they grow new ones. Come on, there's got to be somebody else that it's appealing to. There's a couple of lemons there. They make good lemonade. There's a banana. I'm not sure whether Pastor Dan has finished all his banana. Did he finish yours?
I finished it.
Okay, good. Okay. Yeah, take those cherries. If you think that this is appealing, there's a banana, a couple of lemons. Come on up here. There's some cherries. Those are awesome cherries.
I'll share.
Oh, yeah, I'll share. Come on, there's got to be somebody else. Yeah. That's a lemon and cherries. That'd be a good combination. Yeah, there's only a few more here.
Thank you.
Come on, there's like a couple of handfuls of cherries. You got to, they're good. One more handful. I can deliver. Don't swallow the seeds. Too late. Well, that didn't take long. Okay, let's pray. I want to talk to you about the goodness. You see, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and I really appreciated Pastor Dan's analogy about the pond and the coming in and the refreshing fresh water. I'm a fresh water guy too. And you know what? It's just there's a difference between jumping into a freshwater river or a pond or lake as to jumping into the ocean. It's just, it's different refreshing. And so I really appreciated that because it has to come in and it has to go out. And I also was thinking just this morning about what a beautiful picture of the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what we're talking about, the character. So this is appealing, right? A display of fruit like that, I'll have to tell you, I actually set it up myself. Right brain. There is something going on there. I really like kind of putting it together. But there was something appealing about that because that's what draws people. That's why the plate is empty now. That's why people are still wanting some. Because there's something that draws you, and the character of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, will draw people to you. You need to be people that people see something that's attractive, and that attractiveness must be Jesus Christ. And inside of you lives the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. And it was probably difficult for Pastor Dan because the words kind of are overlapping, kindness and goodness. And so I was thinking, you know, he stole a lot of my good stuff. I should have made him do goodness, and I'd have did kindness, and then I could have used some of the other stuff, but he did a good job. But here it is in Luke chapter 18, verse 18, it says, a certain ruler asked him, Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, he didn't give him a list of things he had to do right away. He says, hey, how come you call me good? Isn't that interesting? Isn't that great response? Jesus said, no one's good except God alone. So we're not talking about doing good. We're talking about being good. And I think this rich young ruler was attracted to Jesus. Now, you got to think about this guy had everything. He had a lot of wealth. So he had a lot of power. He had probably a lot of friends. He had probably a lot of prestige. Probably a lot of things. But he is missing something. And Jesus didn't have a lot of things, didn't probably have a lot of friends. He did have a few friends and people that followed him, but they're still trying to figure him out. He just didn't have a lot of the stuff that made him look rich, except He was rich in the Holy Spirit. He was rich in the Father. He is the spitting image of the Father, it says in Hebrews. And so here's this young man, I don't know whether he's young or old, but this rich, rich man. And he finds Jesus because he heard of him. And he says, hey, I need to talk to you because you have something I don't have and I can't buy. Please understand, that's exactly what this world is saying. For you, they're approaching you because they don't have what we have, because we have Jesus. And they need Jesus. They don't need a new Lamborghini. They don't need they need power. they don't need a nice condo that they have, one in Florida and one in Whistler and one in California, and they can just fly around. They don't need a yacht that doesn't fit in the harbor here. They don't need all that kind of stuff, because they do need Jesus Christ. They can have all that stuff and they still need Jesus Christ. And you, can you look at this? Maybe some of you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, but if you invite him into your life, that is the most important thing you can do. And then you have the richest above all. And people will go, hey, I need that. Tell me what it's about. Jesus was safe and inviting. I think that's what we need to be. I think that tray of fruit was safe and inviting. You know what? I don't know whether there's any pesticides on it, but we can pray for you if that happens to, you know. But what we need to do is we need to be in a place where people are hungry for what we have. And then we have to be able to freely give that. We have to be able to freely give that. Because, you know, if I kept all that fruit and Elaine's not here for another week or so, it'd go like bad. You know? And I don't want to eat that much fruit. I know. You know why. You know? It's just too much. And so you need to give it away. Can I go get some more? I can go get some more. And it'll be growing fresher and fresher all through the season. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to be inviting in the presence of the Holy Spirit. It has to be fresh and new every day. And we can be attractive in this world that is hungry for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. And we'll go on with the rest of them. So in this word here translated, you did the Greek. That was awesome, man. I'm not going to do the Greek. This English word is good. Why do you call me good, he says. So this is what good means. Out of good constitution or nature, useful, salutary, good, pleasant, agreeable, joyful, happy, excellent, distinguished, upright, and honorable. Those are kind of neat people to be around, don't you think? And it's synonymous with these words: pure, moral, conscientious, meritorious, worthy, exemplary, upright, commendable, admirable, obedient, heedful, kindly, benevolent, humane, gracious, obliging, full, adequate, profitable, useful, serviceable, beneficial, efficient, and proficient. Hey, you hang out with somebody like that, that's okay. Right? That's what it means to be good. Not that you didn't do bad things. It means that you have this goodness, and only God is good. Right? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. But the reality is, God is good. And we can't be good without him. And inside of us, he lives. And so we can just let that come floating out of our artesian wells. Remember I talked about that? Maybe there's this big Graham cracker or Ritz cracker, big debris on top. You need to allow this fruit of the Spirit to just wash that free and then just spill the fruit of the Spirit all over the place. Now, you don't want to be flaky doing it, okay? Hi, hallelujah. People go running the other way into a wall to get away from you. That's flaky. Jesus never was like that. I don't know him. I never walked with him when he was here, but he was never like that. That's flaky. That's phony. That's artificial. We need to be genuine. We need to be authentic. We need to be real. We need to have not plastic fruit. Like, I didn't put up a bunch of plastic fruit and say, hey, come and help yourself. A little bit, some of you have been a little ticked. Those are real watermelons. That's a real apple, isn't it? Gave somebody something to do this morning. Because that's what we need, is we need authenticity and being real. And Jesus says this in John 10, very, very, I say to you, and Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You hear the voice of God, and you respond to his voice. Elaine and I pastored on Salt Spring Island. We had real sheep, the four-legged kind, along with the two-legged kind in the congregation. And it was really kind of neat because I was the shepherd, and actually our daughter Leslie was the under-shepherd. And I just walked down to the field, and I'd go. And it was very technical. As a shepherd, I shouldn't give away these secrets, but I'd go, here, sheep, here, sheep. And they would come running. It was just like bonanza, like dun 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 dun. Boom, over the hill they'd come, you know, and they're all, they're just having, this is good, not video, that's good, it's just audio. But they would just be lopping, and they would, their noses would be running, and they couldn't wait to get to drive their nose into my pants, and they'd just step all over my feet. They just couldn't wait to see their shepherd. So Elaine went one day, and she had a big, like they love corn. So she had big stalks of corn in her arms. And she went down to the fence and she tried to use my voice. Hair shape, hair shape. And they just kind of dug their head in and they just grazed. And she rustled the corn and she went, hair shape, hair shape. And they didn't move. And then I came down and stood beside her and went, here, sheep, and they come, let's go. See, you know what? That's the way we need to respond, because we know the voice of the shepherd. And we know that, you know, that shepherd knows that I love the sheep. Or that the sheep knows that the shepherd loves the sheep. That's what the deal was. We would spend hours together. And I smelled like my sheep. That's right. It was not maybe the best kind of smell, but if I went to Victoria, people knew. And I could pick out a Salt Spring Islander anywhere, because they would be the one, honestly, one time we went there, and we were on Douglas in Victoria or something like that. I guess I don't know whether those mashed, but anyway, one of the streets there. And here's this guy with a lamb under his arm. Really? And gumboots on. I knew where he is from. Because he had this lamb that needed to be fed every 4 hours, and it was too long to be off the island. So he brought him in his station wagon. And he had this lamb under, and he had a bottle, and he was feeding this lamb. That only happens with people from Salt Spring, I think. That's a good shepherd. Shepherd wants to be in his field. And the sheep know his voice. But they will never follow, continuing on in verse 5, but they'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. I haven't been in a large mixture of different flocks, but I've seen it on a video, and it's just like there could be 3,000 sheep in an area, and the first shepherd gets up and calls his sheep, and those are the sheep that leave. The other ones still continue to graze till their shepherd gets up and leaves. Isn't that amazing? They know their shepherd's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he is telling them. So he was using this metaphor, saying, you know what? You guys are strangers. You're not shepherds. You're religious people. There's a difference between being religious and there's a difference between being a shepherd. Anybody can be religious, but you have to be called to be a shepherd. And some of you in this congregation are called to be shepherds. You have a pastor's heart. Well, you say, well, I am, but I'm not called into the ministry. I'm not ordained. No, that's got nothing to do with it. You have a heart that says, I want to care for people. I want to love people. I want to counsel people. I want to pray for people. That's a pastor's heart. That's a shepherd's heart. Therefore, Jesus was saying again, very truly I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep, and all those who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. There is only one way to the Father. Please, this world is saying that there's a whole bunch of different ways. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. Cut and dried, and that's it. There's no other way. He's the door. If you want to come to Christ, you got to come through Jesus. Or you want to come to the Father, you want to come through Jesus. And they will come in and they will go out and find pasture. And the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's doing a good job in our world today. We had a tragedy. Can you imagine sitting in a prayer meeting? I was thinking about that tonight. We're sitting in a prayer meeting for an hour and then somebody gets up and shoots everybody. Our brothers and sisters went off to glory. Now, I don't know, some of you might be going like, how could that be? I mean, you're in prayer. Couldn't somebody discern? Couldn't you do? I don't know. I have no answers for that. All I know is that the people that he shot went to glory. And God's grace is sufficient. Listen to this. God's grace is sufficient to save that young man. And we can't comprehend that because of such a horrific, horrible thing that happened. But there are already people who are praying, families of the victims that were shot, that are praying and forgiving and believing that God can intervene in this young man's life. That's the kind of grace, that's the kind of love, that's the kind of the expression of love that Jesus Christ has for us. Does he deserve it? No, he doesn't deserve it. But neither did we. And none of us have been that horrific in our lives. But let me tell you something. His grace is sufficient for everything. And he died on the cross some 2,000 years ago and saw that horrific crime in the church amongst his family. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. Good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and that's what he did on the cross. The hired hand is not the shepherd. He does not own the sheep. So he has no vested interest in the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it, and the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing about the sheep. Jesus Christ will never leave you or forsake you. Do you understand that? In the midst of your terror, can you imagine those who survived in that horrific shooting? God was with them. Well, why didn't he intervene? I don't know the answer to that. But I know that he was there with those people that survived. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Please understand that this is Father's Day. That's a beautiful picture of God the Father, because Jesus is the exact representation. That video was so good. You know, was Grandpa like that? Was Grandpa like that? Was Grandpa like that? You're like that. I want to be like that. My son Dan, I can pick up the phone at his place and people will start talking, hey Dan, you know, I need my transmission fixed, and they'll tell me all this stuff and I say, this isn't Dan. Really? You know, or Dan will be down here and somebody will phone and Dan will pick up my phone and go, hi. Hey Jim, you know, and they'll just go on, and because we are very much the same. And that's awesome. My mom used to get mad at me all the time and say, you're just like your dad. And I still take that as a compliment. That didn't go over so good because she wasn't happy with my actions. You're just like your dad. Well, yeah, I hope to be just like my dad in the right areas. I hope that my son is just like me in those right areas. I hope that my son's sons are just like him. I pray that way would be because they're getting better and closer to God than even Elaine and I have ever thought of. And that's a rich thing because now we're reflecting the Holy Spirit, who's reflecting Jesus, who's reflecting the Father. So Jesus said, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. Nobody killed Jesus. He allowed his life to be spent on our behalf. He said, I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Listen, if you have the living God inside of you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this whole world. Greater is he, can you imagine, inside of you than this whole world has to offer in the negative. I say you can stack the demons, all the crime and all the horror up on in a big pile and it won't cast a shadow on Jesus Christ. He supersedes all of this because he's the good shepherd. I have authority to lay it down, authority to take it up. We have authority as well. You have authority. Some of you may not think so. And that's what the devil comes to do, steal, kill, and destroy. You have authority in Jesus Christ. You can pray with authority. You can involve yourself in laying the hands on people in authority to believe that God's going to heal them. You can counsel through the Holy Spirit with authority. You can stand in the face of a demon with authority. You can believe that your finances can change because of authority. Jesus Christ is inside of you. And just like that plate of fruit, you become attractive to this world if you'll just let people come up because you're attractive and take from you. And then you'll have to spend some time with Jesus so that you can refill that plate again. And I'll tell you, just keep doing that for the rest of your life. And you're going to have an exciting, precious walk with the Father. So we're going to wrap it up with this. Ephesians 5, it says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light. Please understand this is so important. You weren't once in the darkness, and now you're in the light. You were once darkness, and now you are light. Live as children of the light. Live as this attractive light. If you've been in the darkness, I remember Lane and I, when we pastored on Salt Spring Island, we had friends that lived a couple of blocks away, and Lane always said, take a flashlight. I don't need a flashlight, I'm a man. Right? How many men need a flashlight? None of us. It was so dark. I had my family with me. I had Dan and Les, and they were just little. And I didn't know where the road was. Honestly, and all I could hear, Lane never said it. She didn't need to. It's like a tape that plays. You should have brought a flashlight. You should have brought a flashlight. Right? I have a flashlight on my phone now. Never get into those kind of predicaments. Don't really give the credit to Elaine. I give the credit to myself for being so scared. It was like there's no street lights. It was dark, and I could have fallen off the cliff and led my family over. There's some leadership. You were once darkness, so inky black that no light reflected, and now you're all light. You are all light. And you reflect that light in all darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome you. Did you know that? All you have to do is be in a dark room and turn that phone on. I actually went to a movie and there's somebody in the dark with their phone. Isn't that wonderful? Because your eyes are drawn right down to the phone. Because there's light in the darkness. Well, that's a negative. The positive is you're a light in this darkness in this world. Every one of you. And all you have to do is just present the fruit of the Spirit and people will pick the plate clean. That's how you do it. So live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness. That's what it consists of. At first it says all goodness, because God is good and God lives inside of you, right? If God is inside of you, you are good. Not because of what you've done, but because of what he's done. So you are good. Somebody may have said to you and may even say, you know, you're bad. There's nobody that's bad. You do some bad things, but there's nobody that's bad. We're all created in the image of God. And when we allow God into our lives by saying the sinner's prayer, by saying, God, come in, forgive me of my sins, then we become good in him because he is in us. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, right standing with God, and truth. Boy, if you speak truth, you're gonna have to eat a lot of your words and you're going to have to redo a lot of things because you told people the truth and you find out that it's going to cost you. But if you speak the truth, you have integrity. Jesus spoke the truth, and I think that's why the young man who had everything came and said, I need to ask you some questions. And he knew he'd get the truth. You know, when rich people come to church people, especially preachers, here's a little story. This is a story, it's not happened. So this guy comes in and he says to the secretary, hey, I'd like to see the top hog. And she says, we don't refer to our pastor that way. He says, well, I got a check for $1 million U.S. here. She says, just a minute, I hear the little porker coming now. We can vacillate real quick. When we can do that because we want what they have. They want what we have. They cannot buy it. This is not for sale. Jesus paid the price. $1 million doesn't get you into heaven. Jesus Christ will. I was walking along yesterday, or I'll finish this, find out what pleases the Lord. You know, I was walking yesterday, I went for a walk because I'd eaten so much stuff on my holidays. And there's this little guy or little girl pedaling her bike, and her dad says, don't go over to the edge. And she goes, why? You know that one? Like, why? Because if you go over the edge, you might fall and it's rough, and why? And so I just want you to be back here. Why? It's the why time, you know, like it's the time when you want to leave home if you're a parent, because why is everything. I'll tell you, we need to answer the why here at Richmond Pentecostal Church. Why do we exist? Why? We know what we do. We come to church and we gather and we encourage one another and we pray for one another and we build this big building and we have all this. But that's what we do. Why do we do it? We do it for one reason, and that's to draw people to Jesus Christ. That is the why. If we do everything with the why in mind, we will fulfill what God has called us to do. So you find yourself somewhere in a restaurant. Why are you there? Because you're hungry? Yeah. But maybe there's somebody around there that needs just to be encouraged. Why? Why do we exist? So find out what pleases the Lord in your life. Have the team come back, and we're just going to worship the Lord here. Thank you so much for eating all the fruit. Because that's exactly what we need to do when we leave here. We need to load up our fruit trays and offer them to the world. And I'll tell you, they'll be clean. They'll be clean. I'm going to have you just stand, if you would. Team's going to start to play. I'd like the prayer team to come up. Pastors and their wives, spouses, and I want you to come up, board members and spouses. Just come up here and get ready to pray for people. My encouragement this morning is to become fruitful. And God said to be fruitful and multiply. We can use it in this context. We want to be fruitful and multiply the kingdom of God. That's the why we're here. And so I want you to respond. Maybe you're having some struggles in some areas. Maybe, and this is the most important thing, is I just want to invite you into that kingdom right now. Maybe you're here, it's Father's Day, you never come to church. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming to our church. We love you and we thank you for being here. But there's more to it. The Holy Spirit's here and He wants to speak into your life. And so if everybody just bow their heads, I just want to pray this prayer. And you can pray it out loud or you can pray it in your heart, but pray it to God, don't pray it to me. Dear Heavenly Father, on Father's Day, I think about your gift to us, the ability to live. You gave us the breath of life. And I ask right now that you would forgive me of my sins, that I might have the breath of the Spirit come in and change my life for all eternity. I accept you, Jesus, as my personal Savior. And I thank you that one day I'll sit together with the Father, yourself, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and all my friends and loved ones who've gone before me. Thank you for accepting me, Jesus. And I accept you and receive you. I want you to be my Lord, my Savior, and my best friend. We give you thanks for this, Jesus. Amen.